Here we are on this fine Monday afternoon, and you know that I think Monday afternoons are fine, doesn't matter what it's doing outside, because Judy's on the radio with Local Matters talking to fascinating and interesting people, and I have with me this afternoon in the studio Marcia Real. Hi, Marcia.
Hey, Judy.
How are you?
Love you.
Oh, I love you back.
Aww.
Oh, I've known Marcia for a long time, watched her children grow up, the little cuties that they are. She has been in the healthcare industry in one form or another for a long time. Marcia, we're going to talk
a little bit. Because I'm old.
No, you're not old. You're not nearly as old as me. But that's okay. I've watched your three sweet children grow up. One of them get married. One of them take her wings and go to California. And then there's the little munchkin. That was the nickname I gave
Caroline.
Caroline,
yes.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
Caroline's a CPA in Nashville, so yeah, she's not the little munchkin anymore.
No, well, yeah, she'll always be the little munchkin to me. I still call her that when I see her.
She likes it, so yeah.
Oh, all right, Miss Marcia, let's kind of get a background. I had the fortune of knowing your sweet mom and dad.
Yes.
And your dad has just passed this year.
Yeah, he died in January. Both my parents ended up having cancer.
Wow.
And so they, I was lucky enough that they moved here about 15 years ago, just three houses up from me. So
From Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Knoxville. And so they had been there 40 years, but they both were Tennessee Tech alum. So it was like coming home. And they were three houses up, and I was able to be their caregiver. My dad was my mom's main caregiver. And then I would come home from work and relieve him and take care of her. And then I was his best bud and caregiver. So
you were his best bud.
I was.
I would see you and him all over town together. And I thought that was just so, so special.
Yeah,
and so
sweet. He was my date for most everything. And
I love it.
He was my person.
Yeah.
You know, we all have a person.
Of course we do.
And so that's a big loss for me.
I know. Mm-hmm. And you don't ever really, having lost both my parents, my dad died in 76 and mother 99, big gap there in losing
right.
them. Yours not so long.
No, five years.
5 years. My husband's mm-hmm. parents died within 5 months of each other. And I fully believe that. And we'll talk about that here in a minute, that you can die from a broken heart. I do. And I think
yeah.
my father-in-law died from losing his wife of 62 years. Because
yeah.
he died almost five months to the day.
And, you know, my mom and dad had been together 57 years. And
wow.
I expected that from him. But I think because I was with him all the time and we connected so well that he hung in there a few more years and helped me out.
Helped you out, didn't he?
He did.
And that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah. So
I think that's...
So I was fortunate.
Yes, you were.
Now, can I go ahead and talk about what I do now? Because I have a lot of adopted moms and dads.
You do now, for sure.
Because I work at Life Care Center of Sparta.
And you are. You've got your name tag on
here.
Oh,
I do have my name tag on.
And it's a big, long title.
I'm the director of the Assisted Living Facility and Limited Memory Unit. And Life Care has everything except independent living. So what that means is we start with assisted living, and that's for people who are still fairly independent, but they need some assistance with things like the meals and housekeeping, and they just want to be in a community where life isn't so difficult for them, and they can continue to be productive. And then we have a limited memory unit, and that's for residents who are still fairly independent but are suffering from dementia.
And, early stages?
All stages.
Okay.
All stages. Mm-hmm. And it is a secured unit because we don't want anybody to be hurt. We want people to be safe.
And you don't want them wandering off.
Exactly. And that is one of the issues with dementia. But it's a real happy place. It's very community-based. It's like
that's good.
They're pulled together, and the aides and the nurses are all trained to deal with people with dementia. And we actually raise money every year for Alzheimer's of Tennessee and often are the big money raiser. Last year, we were the biggest money raiser in this region for Alzheimer's of Tennessee.
But that doesn't surprise me. You're the director.
I'm not taking credit for that. Absolutely not. No, that's the staff.
You and they others. Well, yeah, but you got to have a chief.
Yeah.
It's great to have a lot of Indians, but you still got to have a chief.
And then Life Care also has the skilled nursing unit.
Right.
And skilled rehab. And so our residents, if they have any kind of issue, they can come back into skilled, get the rehab, and they're still at home at Life Care. So,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a great place.
Now, my question is, my mother suffered from dementia. I watched her go through the stages. What is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's?
It's a medical diagnosis. It's often hard when you're working with one of the residents to know. I mean, it's almost impossible to know if what they have is Alzheimer's or dementia.
It's so close.
Yeah, and you really can't diagnose Alzheimer's until postmortem after their death.
By doing an autopsy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so they're treated pretty much the same. I mean, we just try to respect people and to listen to them and try to take care of their needs. And we have an advantage over the family members because we didn't know them before.
Right.
And so we love them
just as they are.
Like they are. And they're so precious. We have one resident and she's in her 90s, and she has, I don't know what form of dementia she has, but she yodels and sings old country songs.
It.
And even like yesterday, I walked past her and she was kind of depressed. And I asked her if she would yodel for us. And she said, "You want me to now?" And I said, "Yeah, sure I do." And she did a little song, and it's like the Patsy Montana song.
Is she good?
She's good. Awesome.
I love that.
So, you know, we really do just embrace these people.
You have to. Mm-hmm. And I know I had a friend that went over there, had hand surgery and went over there. And it's different than any place that we have here in Coopville, as far as I know, and anywhere else in the Upper Cumberland. Just for a short period of time, they moved her a chair in and a television in her own little apartment, so to speak, until she went through it was her right hand, and so she went through the rehab.
Right. Well, I'm a Cookvillian. I've been here for 27 years, and before that, I was here to go to Tennessee Tech. So I'm a Cookvillian. But I drive down 111 every day. It's super easy to get to Sparta, and we have a lot of Cookvillians who choose Life Care.
Yes. But you can move in for a short period of time.
Before, right.
And then...
Exactly. I mean... The rehab is for however long that the insurance will pay for it or however long the resident wants to be there.
Right.
So,
well, that's great.
We have 12 therapists on staff, physical, occupational, and speech.
Okay.
So everything's there that you can get anywhere.
It's a big place. I've been there visiting people that I've known, and all of them been from Cookeville, obviously, and they've gone over there.
Yeah, and I'm the new kid on the block as far as staff. The managers have all been there a long time. Their family, they get there and they stay there. And it's just a wonderful, heart-filled facility.
Talking this afternoon with Marshall Reel, who is one of the directors over at Life Care in White County. It's Sparta, Tennessee. My daddy was from Sparta,
awesome.
So I think I'm a pretty close person to say I'm not a White Countyan, but I'm close.
I have ancestors from White County.
Do you now?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, there you go. So we have more in common than we knew. Let's talk a little bit. I want to come back to this subject, though, because I have other questions. But I want to talk a little bit about you personally. I know you were very active in your three children's lives and still are. And I know you travel with the Munchkin, with Caroline.
Yes.
Y'all just been where?
We just went to Italy for Easter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's go to
Well, let me just say something about that, because I have a lot of people react funny when I say I'm going to Europe. But I never went to Europe until 2013. And this trip, we just went to Florence and Milan. We were gone for 9 days. It was cheaper than a week at the beach.
Yeah.
You know, because it's very affordable. All you have to do, and I encourage everybody out there listening, if you haven't been, just do it. You know, just do it. We booked a cheap flight. We just looked for one, and then we based our trip around that. Okay,
well, here's there you go.
Here's some cheap plane tickets. We booked Airbnb and public transportation. I mean, if we had public transportation in the U.S. like they do in Europe, we would all be traveling all the time.
Yeah.
It's just so easy. And everybody speaks
English. Of course,
English.
You did it online.
We did it all online. Everybody in Europe speaks English, so you don't have to worry about going to a country where they don't speak your language. Everybody speaks English.
I loved Florence.
So
I've not been to Milan,
gorgeous.
But I loved Florence.
They're very similar.
Are they? Okay.
Yes. Milan has a lot of canals, so you don't have to go to Venice. Venice is known for its canals, but it also is so touristy. And Milan is just a lovely city with the beautiful canals and not the huge influx of tourists. And of course,
that's kind of the way to do it.
Pizza, pasta, gelato. We ate gelato.
All the wonderful things
every
in life.
Day. A couple of days we ate gelato twice. So,
and had wine two or three times a day.
Maybe. Yeah, we might have had that. So, yes.
Just maybe you did.
Yes.
Oh,
we actually took a pasta making class.
Did you?
It was so much fun. And so my brother's been here in town since my dad passed away. And I taught him night before last how to make pasta. So,
well, I think I'm going to have to come over, Marcia.
Yeah, it was so good.
You're
going
to have to teach me to make pasta.
Oh, man. Yeah, fresh pasta, nothing like it.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Now, that's something that I have never done, and I have been fortunate in many areas, but I've been to Europe more than once, let's say. But I've never taken a cooking class. I would love to do that.
Yeah, they took us into their home.
Wow.
These two gentlemen, and it was in the Tuscany region, and they served us wine, and they taught us how to make panna cotta, and which is a dessert, like if you're used to creme brulee, it reminds me of that.
I love and, creme brulee.
Yeah, so good and easy. And then they had the flour and stuff put out on a table for us and showed us exactly what to do to make the pasta dough, and then we had a delicious meal together. And night before last was the first time I'd actually tried it at home.
Oh, and it worked.
Yeah.
Oh,
it worked. I was surprised.
I'm proud of you. We got to take a break, and you folks listen to our sponsors and please support them so we can keep coming to you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons. And we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. We're talking this afternoon to Marcia Real. Marcia and I, as I said, met a number of years ago. It's been longer than I care to think, actually. Marcia, we're talking. You work in a place, Life Care at Sparta. It's a geriatric home, I suppose, in many different ways. Aging is not fun. And I'm in that process. And for those of you out there who are going through we all go through the aging process from the time we're born till we die, we're aging. And sometimes it's hard to do it gracefully. I try to be graceful. People say, how you doing? And I'll say, I'm aging gracefully or trying to. Let's talk about that aspect of aging. It's just the, you know.
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that we need to embrace whatever age we are and be proud of it because we've earned it.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, buddy.
We have earned it. And let me talk about healthcare.
Okay.
And how healthcare advances have sometimes made it harder for us at the end of our life. You know, we live longer now.
Oh,
we live
yes.
way longer than our grandparents and great-grandparents did.
Yes.
And it is mostly due to healthcare advances. But the decisions, that makes the decisions near the end of our life more difficult because we have to decide, do I want to do that further treatment? Do I want to put my body through that? And seeing both of my parents have cancer and have to make those decisions, I'm now a really strong advocate for finding out exactly what the treatment does promise to do and deciding if you want to live your life with the side effects in the time that you have left. And I think physicians are really afraid to tell their patient that what I'm promising you might give you 3 more months. It might give you 6 more months. They just say, here's a treatment, and this is what I recommend we do. But the patient is thinking, oh, it will give me years or possibly cure me. And the physician knows what it's going to do is maybe give them 6 more months. And
what a great point. I'm so glad you brought that up because we are living longer because of the advancements in medicine, as you said. Those decisions are tough.
They are. And the doctors know that they can do something to prolong life. And I managed a physician's office for 14 years before I went to life care. And so I do not believe that doctors are in it for the money because I hear people say that, oh, they just want the money. No, they want to do what they're trained to do. And what they're trained to do is provide treatment. And
the Hippocratic Oath.
You know, and most of them care about their patients yes. because it's a hard job. And if they didn't really care, they wouldn't do it. So, you know, the money they pay for medical school, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a decision-making process that has to happen with the person and their family. I have a great book I would recommend your listeners read. It's called Being Mortal. It's written by Dr. Otto Gawande. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but it is on this very subject, and I think it's a beautifully written book. And pick it up because it just talks about healthcare and what happens as we age and making those kinds
Being
of
mortal?
Decisions. Being mortal.
Okay.
Being mortal. And we all are mortal. You know, there isn't a cure for everything. We all are going to die. And
that's one sure thing in life is death.
It is absolutely a sure thing. And it's not a terrible thing. You know,
I don't think so. It's got to be better than what we live in.
There are tragedies that happen every day. We see those and that's sad. But, you know, for a 80-something-year-old, a 90-something-year-old who has had a full life, it can be a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to accept that.
Absolutely.
So, just a thought
Absolutely.
On that.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's, of course, it's no secret to my listeners. I'm a very spiritual type person. And, you know, I can, you know, I look forward to being in heaven, to going to heaven. And I certainly know your mother and daddy are there. And
yes.
Because of my religious beliefs, or spiritual beliefs, I guess is what I should say. So,
And I'm right there with you. I mean, I remember having the conversation with my mother because she had a difficult time stopping treatment. And she really had her last 2 years of life were not good because of the treatments that she was taking. And I said, Mom, heaven is a wonderful place. And Jesus is going to be the first person to meet you when you get there.
Mm-hmm. I have been told, and I think I believe this, and not to be morbid by any means, but sometimes it's so important that those of us remaining family members going through with someone we love the death process is to let them know that it's okay to go ahead.
Oh, absolutely.
That it's all right, that I'm going to be fine. I told my mother that. And I said, Mama, I'm going to be okay. She had dementia and suffered many strokes. And I said, it's okay.
I see that happen at work all the time.
I'm sure.
Residents that are in hospice care, they'll hold on until mm-hmm. they've talked to that one last family member. I mean, yeah. usually their children, somebody yep. that they need closure with, and they often do need permission. It's okay to go on.
Yeah, and I've heard doctors say that sometimes you need to say it's okay.
Yeah, we need to be really good at letting go.
Yeah, we do.
And as the patient and as the family member.
Right.
We need to be good at letting go. Right. And I hope when I get to that point that I will be good at letting go.
Me too. Me too. I would like to think that, you know, I'm ready to go right now. My
too.
Faith is a very strong faith. So, you know, but that for people who don't have any faith, and perhaps they think there's nothing. I believe in something after death, and that happens to be heaven. But there are a lot of people that do not believe that. And that's a whole different ballgame.
And even for those people, Judy, it's rest.
It is rest. That's a good way to look at it, Marcia. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. It's a rest.
Yeah, no
what
more
else
suffering.
Can you say? Mm-hmm. It's a rest, period. Mm-hmm. of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Talking with Marcia Real today about healthcare and aging, and that's something we all, sooner or later, most all of us will have to be faced with in making medical decisions. Those are hard. Living wills, I believe in them.
Yes, you got to be prepared.
Yeah, and you know, used to. When my dad died in 77, there wasn't any such thing as a living will. If you don't have living wills or power of attorneys for your elderly parents or relatives, whoever, aunt, uncle, whatever, you need to do that.
Yeah. Fortunately, most primary care physicians now will make sure that you've done your living will. But if not, you can find them online. Just, yeah, do it. That's where you decide what's going to happen to you in the event that your life is no longer the quality that you want it to be.
Right.
So,
it's, you know, I've seen television shows just like all of us have, you know, people who try to keep people alive when they've already been told it's a vegetative state. Mm-hmm. They're brain dead. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the brain doesn't function anymore. And the machine is breathing for them. That's tough.
Yeah,
that is difficult to watch people you love. And yeah, God gave us tear ducts. And yes, we cry mm-hmm. because it's sad. But
yeah.
We need to prepare.
Yep.
Totally paying taxes and death are the two sure things, right?
Yes.
In the time we have, we've been kind of some serious stuff, but I kind of knew that we probably would because I knew what you did. You, one time,
and that's where my heart is. It is.
I'm not mm-hmm. surprised. I know you well enough to know you have a sweet, tender heart, and you're where you need to be, I believe. God's finally put you where you need to be.
You know, I fell backwards into healthcare. Almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, you were in PR, public relations.
I was actually a systems analyst when I came out of college. My bachelor's degree was in computer science, of all things. So I did do some years of computer programming, but God put you where you need to be.
He does indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, he put us together. What a blessing for me.
Yeah, and we had so much fun back when we did some theater together.
We did do some theater together, and that's how I met you. And Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will? Who's ever heard of such a title? Great comedy.
We did three runs of that. She'll always be Mama Wheelis to me.
Mama Wheelis was the character I played. Go figure.
And I was Lurleen.
And you were my granddaughter.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was great fun. And we had a great cast.
And I'm not young enough to be her granddaughter, just so you know.
Yeah, you were at the time. We were all younger at the
time. I was
at
the time. That's hilarious.
And but you've done other things. But yeah, we did three different shows, three different runs, if you will, of
yes.
Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will? Cindy Putnam. God love Cindy. She's been on my show. We're out of time, Marcia.
So much fun.
I told you'd go fast.
You did.
I did indeed. Thank you, folks, for listening. I hope you get some laughs. I hope you have learn some things. Local Matters is just what it says. It's my talking with fascinating and interesting people. I learn so much every day. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.